We're going to turn our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter number 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33, and we're going to read verse 25. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 25. When you stand it, please. When you find, please find it. Please stand in honor of God's word. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 25. Bible says, "Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There is none like unto the Lord, none like unto God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge." And underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, "Destroy them." Israel shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon the land of corn and wine. Also his heaven shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time of the 4th of July. And Heavenly Father, we thank you about all the freedoms that we enjoy here in America. And Heavenly Father, I believe that America is just one of the best nations on earth. And we have so many freedoms here, one of which is the one we're exercising this morning, the freedom of religion. Dearly Father, the fact that we can gather together and read your word and somebody can stand up and say, "Thus saith the Lord," and Dearly Father, and we can worship you and sing your praises. Dearly Father, we just thank you so much for that. I know that this freedom wasn't free. There were so many folks that gave all and some that were willing to give all. And Dearly Father, we are very blessed here in America. Dearly Father, now as we come to the preaching, we need to hear from you. Heavenly Father, once again, these are your people. This is your church. Heavenly Father, I pray that you guide my thoughts and just direct my words. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you use me however you see fit. And we'll pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to talk about strength for the day. Strength for the day. This passage is coming from the children of Israel. And, you know, a lot of times... Backing up a little bit and just kind of giving you a brief overview. You have the children of Israel, and God had promised them the land flowing with milk and honey. And we all know the story about how they sent spies in the land. And junior church, we sang, 12 men went to spy in Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good. What do you think they saw in Canaan? 10 were bad and 2 were good. You know, and they go on and basically they didn't claim the promises of God. And what happened was that they had wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. God had taken care of them, but they're just about now ready to enter into the promised land. And they were delivered by the blood and the Passover. And just imagine that, going through all the plagues, and then God sent the Passover. Everybody that had the blood applied to the doorpost, the firstborn child was saved in the house. And it symbolized the fact that the song we sing, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." When we have Jesus' precious blood that washes away the sins in our lives, when we have the blood applied to our hearts, the Bible says that we can be saved. And talking about salvation, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And then you had the children of Israel safely led through the Red Sea. And I imagine what would happen if the children of Israel would have the technology then that we had now. You know, it's like how many people would be selfieing right next to the parted sea? Click, you know, and post that on Instagram. Anyways, imagine the pictures that we'd have, you know, the pictures of "there's the locust coming right at us." So here's the thing is that you have basically the last words of Moses to his people. You know, God is real good about giving last minute instructions. God is real good about giving us instructions to live life and to have what we need to be able to prosper. And this is what Moses is doing by God's commandment. He's given him last-minute advice for going into the promised land. And here's the thing is, we have instructions that we can live by. I believe that everything in this book God has given for a reason. This is not everything God knows. This is everything that God wants us to know, and so that we can have what we need to live life successfully. And we can have strength for today, so to speak. Well, here you have Moses. He's preparing them for the promised land, and he's given assurance to Asher for all of his days. Verse 25, the Bible says, the shoes shall be of iron and brass, and this symbolizes the fact that God had provided for them for those 40 years. And if you have kids, you know that shoes, you can get a pair of shoes, and you're lucky if it lasts 6 months. And whereas an adult, you know, we try and stretch them out for like 6 years or more. But anyways, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. God knows all of our days. And here's the thing is Moses is assuring Asher that, you know what, difficult days may be ahead. Days of toil and of trials, days of temptation and of cheers, but God knows our days. And let me assure you, Christian, God knows our days. God knows what lies ahead. God knows the troubles that we're going to face. God knows that, you know what, one day, just like Hardy Irby's family, God knows that one day we may face a loss in our family. I know that we face a loss in our church family. And but here's the thing is, God knows our days. God knows what lies ahead. Every trial, every temptation, every heartbreak, God knows, and God can give strength for the day. God can give strength for the day. He said, Moses is going back and he's telling Asher, he's like, listen, just think about all that God's done in the past. Think about the water from the rock. Just think about the fact that God had water that came out of a rock to feed. He's like, listen, God has never failed you yet. We failed God, I don't know how many times, and you know what? I think all of us have been there. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Each one of us has sinned, and you know what? We've disappointed God, but you know what the awesome part about it is God has never failed us once. God has never gone back on a promise. God has never not provided our needs. Now, here's the thing is, I'll be honest with you. You know, there's times where my needs were not provided, but only because I disobeyed the word of the Lord. And here's the thing is, God knows our days. And you know, there's so many promises in Scripture. If I can encourage you, and listen, this would be a whole sermon series in and of itself. Go through the promises throughout the Bible. Go throughout the promises. Just real quick, give me a couple promises. Okay? Who has? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Who has another promise? All right? Okay, I'm putting you on the spot a little bit. I seen that hand. No, just joking. But anyways, so be like an auctioneer. Oh, you twitched. Sold. And anyways, Brother Paul just bought a car. But anyways, the thing about it is there's so many promises. I know that I put you guys on the spot, and if you were to stop and think of it, I'm sure you'd come up with quite a few. But the thing about it is that, listen, there are so many promises in the Bible. And you know what? If we go through and we start claiming promises, those are promises that you can take to the bank. It's not like nowadays where all of a sudden, you know, I decide I'm going to buy something, and you know what? We have the stack of paperwork that chopped down 4 trees. And you have to sign here, initial there, and sign there, and initial there, and sign there, all right, date there, and sign there. And you know what, here's the thing is, by the time you get done buying something, you have writer's cramp. Back in the day, it used to be you bought a car with just a shake of a hand. But the thing about it is listen, our God has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And listen, when God promises, he comes through, and there's so many promises that can give us strength for today. And God knows the future from the foundations of the world. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 35. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 35, the Bible says, I'll give you a second to turn there, and I've got a lot of scripture to turn to, and so you might want to keep your Bibles handy, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in the parables, I will utter things which thou hast kept secret from the foundation of the world. Here's the thing is, you know what? There are some things that we do not know. But you know what? There's nothing that God does not know. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. If I knew what would happen in the future, it might scare me a little bit. You know, the thing about it is if I knew who one day was going to be knocking on my door trying to date my daughter, it might scare him a little bit. But the thing about it is sometimes the future is best not known. There are things that God keeps from us, but you know what? God has a plan and purpose for it all. And if we turn to him, you know what? We can get strength for the day. And turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34. The Bible says, Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34, the Bible says, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world." Here's the thing is, God has a kingdom prepared. The Bible talks about, you know, I love the fact that at just about every funeral service, pastor reads, "I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. In my Father's house are many mansions." And here's the thing, as it goes on, it talks about a prepared place for prepared people. You say, well, who is that prepared people? Those that are saved, those that are born again. The Bible says those that, you know what, have not done anything in and of their own self. The Bible says our righteousness are as filthy rags. The Bible says that for all have sin and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, the thing about it is God uses that word gift for a reason. You know what? If I were to try and buy something, that's not a gift. If I was trying to work for something, that's not a gift. The Bible says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How do you be a prepared person for a prepared place? Be a child of the King, the Bible says. Be on your way to heaven by accepting the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the thing is, when Jesus Christ ascended up into heaven, he sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat. He said, listen, now the atonement has been paid. The price has been paid. All we have to do is accept that gift. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How do we be a prepared person for a prepared place? Accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8. The Bible says, "And all shall dwell upon the earth, shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world." Now the thing about it is that God has prepared a place. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Here's the thing is, there will be persecution along the way. The Bible says in Luke chapter 11, I'm in John, that won't work. Luke chapter 11 and verse 50, the Bible says that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world might be required of this generation. And so here's the thing is, you know what? There are people that have passed on. Here's the thing is, you want to read an interesting book, and you can get it free just about anywhere, is Trail of Blood. And I tell you what, those who have gone on before. Now, here's the thing: is we are coming up on the 4th of July and the celebration of our great nation. And you know what? But here's the thing: is our nation was great because there was a group of individuals, men and women, that decided they were going to pay the price to make it great. This is why I'm so proud of our church, as far as the fact that we go all out for veteran service. And we do our best all year long to prepare and to plan so that we can honor those folks that have paid the price for our freedom. But at the same point in time, listen, there has been an ultimate price paid, and it starts with Christ on the cross. But listen, all throughout history, there's been people that have shed their lives to make sure that we have this book right here. They have shed their lives standing on the faith. Now, the thing about it is God knows all of our days, and God can give us strength for today. And you know what the awesome part about it is nothing is hidden from God. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 33, back in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 25, the Bible says, "Thy shoes shall be as iron as brass, and as the days, so shall thy strength be." See, the thing about it is God knows our strength too. You know, I remember growing up. A lot of times, I'd be working on the car with my dad, And my dad knew my strength or the lack thereof. And I remember the first time he allowed me to change the oil. And we were working on the car, and he told me, all right, now here's how tight you tighten it, tighten the drain plug. And I remember him going back through and checking it. And see, here's the thing, is he knew that I was a kid, and he knew that sometimes I'd try and over-tighten it, or sometimes I'd under-tighten it. The thing about it is God knows our strength. The Bible calls us, those of us that are saved, God calls us the children of God. And the thing about it is, you know what? The Bible says, when I am weak, then am I strong. See, here's the thing is, you know what? Our weakness, a lot of times, you know what? You go to the self-help books, and they say, you know what? Believe in yourself, and you don't feel good about yourself and all this. But the thing about it is you know what? There are times where we're weak that it's a great opportunity. Why is it a great opportunity? Because you know what? Then it's a chance to showcase the strength of our Heavenly Father. See, the thing about it is our weakness is the backdrop of a very loving and caring God that's very able to do exceedingly what we ask or think. See, the thing about it is He knows how to equip us for those days. He knows what we need. See, the thing about it is when we try and rely on ourselves to get through these difficult days, you know what? We don't know what God knows. And God is omnipotent. God is omniscient. And the thing about it is you know what? He knows the past. He knows the present. And He knows the future. And He knows exactly what we need to get through our days. He knows the strength that we need. He knows the encouragement that we need. He knows the chastisement that we need sometimes. And here's the thing is if you're anything like me, that comes from time to time. But the thing about it is you know what? God knows exactly what we need. And I'm so glad that we serve a God like that. He knows how to equip us for every day. The Lord knows our breaking point, and He will not allow anything to go beyond it. He knows how we feel. He knows when we're tired. He knows when we're nervous. The thing about it is He knows when we're anxious. He knows when we're tempted. He knows when we're discouraged and we're ready to give up. He knows when we're being oppressed. But you know what? He knows, and He can give us the strength to get through that day, and He cares. Just think of this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves so much that He would send His Son to die on the cross for our sins. And listen, the awesome part about it is that's not where the love ends. All you got to do is read through scriptures. God gives us promises. God gives us strength. It's just like Moses. He said, listen, I love you. I can't go into the promised land. See, Moses couldn't go into the promised land. Moses failed to listen to the commandment of God. And so there was a judgment for that. Sin always has a price. The Bible says for the wages of sin is death. Sin always has a consequence. And before we're saved, the consequence is death. The Bible says, and death and hell are cast in the lake of fire, which is a second death. And now the thing about it is sin always has a consequence. For Moses, the consequence of not listening to God was he was not able to go into the promised land. God brought him up on the mountain and said, listen, this is the promised land that I'm giving Israel. I'm sure Moses wanted to see that promised land, and God allowed him to see it. But listen, because of your sin, you know what? I can't allow you to go into the promised land. This is an admonition, kind of a little side note, a freebie. You know what? Listen, God has a perfect plan and a will for our lives. And you know what? Too many times, like we learned in Sunday school, we decide we're going to do our own will. And we learned about Esther and how God had a plan for Esther. And you know what? I'm sure it was hard. I'm sure the temptation was great to just keep her mouth shut. I'm sure that she wanted to just cower and do her own thing. But you know what? God said, listen, I've placed you in this place for such a time as this. And the thing about it is there's a plan and a purpose for our lives. But here's the thing is, you know what? God always gives us the strength we need to get through it. And you know, there are times where we go through things that it seems like, you know what? We just wish that we didn't have to go through. There are times where we go through things that we wonder what God is doing. There are times where we go through things, but you know what? Listen, the Bible says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's one of the promises of God. This is why it's so important for us to heed the promises of God's word. God compensates for our weakness with His strength. Turn back to verse 25. Thy shoes shall be in iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There is none like unto God of Jerusalem, who rode upon the heaven in thy help, and in the excellence of thy sky. Here's the thing is, there's promises of strength for the weak. Turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 27. Psalms chapter 27 and verse 14, the Bible gives us a promise of strength. The Bible says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and I shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." See, here's the thing is, too many times we go through trials and we want things to happen on our timing. And how many of you have ever been to a fast food place and thought they were too slow? Because you had to wait 3.5 minutes. And bless God, you know, it's fast food, not slow food. And just thank God it's not tofu. And anyways, but the thing about it is that you know, we're an instant society. We want everything now. And we want it. It's like the commercial. It's my money and I want it now. And but anyways, the thing about it is that, you know what? We want things the way when we want them, and we wanted them yesterday. And but the thing about it is you know what's interesting is God's ways are not our ways, and our ways are not God's ways. And so is God's ways higher than our ways? And so anyways, God is basically saying, hey, listen, I know the past, the present, and the future. Sometimes what we think is best for ourselves doesn't always work out. And sometimes there are things that, you know what, I'll be honest with you, there are times where I thought I figured things out, and I thought I knew what was best for God, and I thought I knew, you know what, well, God, if you just do this, this, and this, and you know what, God doesn't do this, this, and this, and later on I see, man, that was a whole lot better than if God would have just followed what I wanted. You look back at the children of Israel, fast forward a few years, and the thing about it is Israel decided, you know what? Every other nation has a king. And you know what? We want a king too. And God says, listen, the way I ordained it was, I'm your leader. And you know what? They kept on pressing and they wanted a king. And so God says, all right, you want a king? You get a king. But you read later on in the minor prophets, I tell you what, Israel was in a world of hurt and had a whole lot of turmoil because they got a king. And you know what? I believe that if they would have just allowed the Lord to be their king, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a lot of that troubles would have been avoided. And see, the thing about it is sometimes God does give us what we want just to let us realize that, you know what? That wasn't always what's best. And God can give us strength to perform His will. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. The Bible talks about giving strength. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. The Bible says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." See, the thing about it is you know what? Most of these verses talk about waiting on the Lord. The thing about it is we've got to have faith. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Faith in realizing that God knows what's best. Faith is understanding. You know, we talk about Esther, and the Bible says that the Bible talks about it. And, you know, here's the thing is, I can't imagine the nervousness of Esther, realizing that if the king decided one way or the other, it meant her life. But here's the thing is, she realized that she was placed here for a purpose, and she was going to fulfill that purpose, and God gave her strength. And I believe it was mainly because of the fasting and praying. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, the Bible says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Here's the thing is, fear not. I'll be honest with you. You know what? Today, nowadays, more than ever, there's a whole lot of fear. And there's a whole lot of anxiousness. And I tell you what, whenever we try and do things in our own power, and whenever we try and do things in our own knowledge and our own wisdom, you know what happens is we start to worry. We start to, you know what? The thing about it is that there's times where you know what? I think I can handle this. And when it starts to go wrong, all of a sudden the sweat just starts beating up on your brow. And you start to realize, you know what? I don't have this. But you know what? There's a certain level of peace. You know, the Bible talks about the peace of God which passes all understanding. See, there's a certain level of peace that, you know what, can't be described. It can't be described. It's knowing that, you know what, God is in control. That peace only comes from walking with God. That peace only comes with close communion with God. That peace only comes when, like Esther, we place our lives in God's hands and say, listen, God, my life is yours to control. You called me to do something, bless God, I'm going to do it. You told me to say something, bless God, I'm going to say it. And the thing about it is you know what? When we take and we place our life in God's hands, you know what? There's a certain level of peace because you know what? God can't fail. There's no possible way that God can fail. And you know what? God will never let us down. And so if we're doing what God told us to do, there's a certain level of peace. Because here's the thing is it's, you know what? When we're doing God's will, it's His reputation on the line, not mine. When I'm doing what God told me to do, it's His reputation, not mine. And the thing about it is when I say, God, you know what? I'm going to do what you want me to do. And I'm you know what? You told me to endure, so I'm going to endure. You told me to have faith, and so I'm going to have faith. You told me to live a holy life, so I'm going to live a holy life. And the thing about it is it's God's reputation on the line. And you know what? God will never fail. This is where the peace of God that passes all understanding comes from. When we decide that we're going to do our own will, that's not peace. Because you know what? The peace only comes from placing our lives in God's hands. You look at Samson. Peace only came when he did God's will, not his. You look at Jonah. Peace only came when he was doing God's will, not his. Here's the thing is all throughout Scripture, we can give you example. And here's the thing is all throughout life, we can give examples on folks that decided to do their own will rather than God's. I'll be honest with you. God's the only one that can give us strength through the day. Take His strength each day by faith. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, the Bible says a crucial piece of information about this. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You know, the thing about it is God has to give the strength or we'll fall on our face. The Bible says, His strength is sufficient for thee. Just think about the strength that it took for Christ to go to the cross. I'll be honest with you, I don't know that I could have endured what Christ endured. Think about this for a moment. All the false accusations that Christ endured. There's been times where I'm sure a lot of us have had false accusations about us. And it hurt. And it bothered us. But here's the thing is, that wasn't the extent of it. They cried blasphemy when Christ was teaching. They took and they paraded Him before a judge. And they tried to have these just outlandish trials. One judge even says, I find no fault in this man. They decide that you know what? That the people decided that they would rather release Barabbas, a serial killer, than this Christ that did nothing wrong. Imagine being traded for a serial killer and taking your place on death row. Imagine being having your clothes gambled away in front of you, thinking those are something that I worked hard for. Imagine being spit upon, and imagine the crown of thorns being shoved into the head of our Savior. Imagine the torture as nails are driven through His hands and His feet, and He's hung on the cross, suffocating, trying to take each breath. And then He utters the words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Imagine a spear that is shoved through His side. All this because of love. There is only one word that can explain Calvary, and that's love. The Christ that endured all this is the same God that can help us endure what we're going through. Is the same God that can give us strength for the day. Is the same God that, listen, nobody has the track record that Christ has. I'll be honest with you, I love a lot of people in this room. But the thing about it is you know what? I'll be honest with you, I'd have a hard time not hesitating if I knew that Calvary was something I had to endure for them. Now, hopefully I would. But the thing about it is I'll be honest with you, Christ never flinched. Christ never hesitated. He did it willingly out of love. That is the same God that says, listen, I understand what you're going to go through. The promised land is coming. Here's the thing, is for the Christian, heaven's just a heartbeat away for some of us. And the thing about it is you know what? God is saying, just like Moses did to Asher, there's some instructions you're going to need. Here's the thing, is if you're going to enjoy the promised land to its fullest extent, there's some instructions that we're going to need. And I'll be honest with you, nothing in our lifetime compares to heaven. The streets of gold, the gates of pearl, to be able to see our Savior face to face, the one who loved us more than we can ever imagine. I tell you what, I cannot imagine what Mr. Irby is going through. I tell you what, I don't know which saints of God he's talking to. I tell you what, I bet you he found Mrs. Irby, that's for sure. And you know, the thing about it is I tell you what, heaven's just a wonderful place. And you know what, the Bible says that our life is but a vapor. It appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. But you know what? Heaven is for eternity. The Bible says, calls it eternal life. And listen, the thing about it is you know what? Any trial or tribulation or heartache that we can experience here on this earth pales in comparison to the joy of eternity. So this morning, let me encourage you. If you don't know the Savior as your personal Lord and Savior, I encourage you, don't wait, get it settled today. If you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, if you don't know what it is to be saved, come down to an old-fashioned altar here in a moment when we have it. And you know what? Somebody will show you out of the Bible how you can know 100% sure you're on your way to heaven. For those of us that are saved, let me just encourage you, get the strength for today. And listen, the awesome part about it is, you know what? It's just a brief moment in time compared to eternity. I don't know about you, but one day when I get to heaven, I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." I tell you what, to be able to walk through the gates of heaven, you know what? I can't imagine how awesome that will be. You know, when you think about heaven and all the loved ones that are there, the Bible talks about the blessed hope. And you know what? It's something that we can cling to here on this earth, to know that Christ has paid for that. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these words of encouragement. And Dear Heavenly Father, the words of challenging. And Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to heed the word of God. And Dear Heavenly Father, so many times you've given us instructions that will make life here on this earth such a better time. And Dear Heavenly Father, But I pray that you help us to lay up rewards in heaven. The Bible says that that moths and rust doth corrupt the things here on this earth. And too many times we live for the here and now. We live for cars and we live for houses. We live for money. We live for so many things. And dear Heavenly Father, that's not what's important. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to be faithful. The Bible says, moreover, it's required among stewards that a man be found faithful. Dear Heavenly Father, I think about the fact that so many people are lost and dying and going to hell. I pray that you help us to be faithful to share with them the love of Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, as the invitation is going to be starting here in a moment, I pray that you help us to have, I pray that you just have your will and your way in our lives. And Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to set pride and whatnot aside. And Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just bless this invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen.